Now, as Jamie said, John and Jan and Jamie and myself are taking off on Thursday to Romania, so obviously your prayers are coveted. But I also know that some of you, I'm not going to look specifically, Pastor Todd's not going to be on there Sunday, so that means we can go do something else. Beth will be, and I've asked her to report. Those people that decided to take a vacation, so I will be following up with those things. Also, so if anything happens at home, gentlemen, if she gives you a call, my expectation is you show up and help my wife out in however she needs. So, because even though Ty has said, Dad, I've got this, I'm the man of the house, he's not quite there on some of the skills that he might need at this point. But so see, speaking of skills, as we celebrate our dads today, I want to give you an opportunity to share a skill that maybe your father has passed on to you that you are really glad that he did. Math? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be judgmental. It just popped out. So I heard one over here. Hard work. Oh, the joys of keeping the beaters running. Yes, fantastic. Anybody else? Dad passed on a skill. Yep. How to change a tire? There you go. There you go. Tony. Take responsibility. There you go. I think there's some more of that needs to be spread. Are you still taking responsibility? Is he taking responsibility for you? Okay, all right, all right. Just Judy? Photography? All right. Other skills that were passed on? Electricity? So you can wire something? All right, there you go. So if you have a need, now we know, right? We're getting to know each other a little better. Your lights don't flip on, call Eflin. Amber? Oh, there you go. Dutch? Were they Dutching? Pseudo? There we go, that's right. Some of that bean can't. Yeah, that's definitely Dutch. Anybody else? Quick, Bob. Woodworking. There you go. Pat? Fishing. How to grow a good garden. There you go. How to milk a cow. How often have you used that skill in the last few years? But that's all right. Dane. My daughter said, how to throw a golf club. I was trying to keep it on the up and up because I also thought, what are things that your father taught you that you really shouldn't have learned? But I am not opening that can of worms, even though only one of mine is sitting here. So we'll just leave that one alone. Any last minute skills that you're happy that, yeah, Kyle. Hunting. There you go. How to help others. Some of those are still, we're still learning, trying to learn that lesson, but definitely. So I will tell you, I didn't necessarily enjoy it growing up, but I will tell you, being able to grow up on a farm and on the mission field, that allowed me to work alongside my dad in ways that, you might be able to bring your son or daughter to work just for them to see what you do. But growing up on a farm and on the mission field, the code goes out the window and all that stuff, so you can get your hands dirty. And I will tell you, my dad passed on skills of how to use different tools, heavy equipment, building, welding, some plumbing, minor electric, and so much more. And I will tell you, at this stage in my life, I'm very happy that he did so. Now, granted, some of those things, some of us have a knack for, and we can pick up some of those things faster than others. And I will tell you, I've been able to build on those skills over time. But here's the thing. All of us are good at something. All of us are good at something because God created us and made us that way. And I will take it one step further. Not only has God skilled you in some way, his intention is that you actually use that skill, right? He's not just giving you skills for your own edification and whatnot. So God's understanding is that, again, he's granted us these skills and is intending us for to use them. Now, when we look in the Old Testament, the concepts of skill and wisdom in some ways overlap each other. Old Testament professor Bruce Waltke, in his study, after he studied Proverbs, he concluded that the wisdom mentioned in the book of Proverbs can pretty much be seen as a skill in living, right? And if you've ever read of the book of Proverbs, it reads like just a bunch of bullet points of wisdom and just this is how we live. And so this morning, we're just going to take a few moments to look at what the Bible says about living skillfully, because I would dare say that not only does our earthly Father, but our heavenly Father wants us to do that. So we're going to just start with a broad view, and again, this is out of Proverbs 19:8. To get wisdom is to love oneself. To keep understanding is to prosper. So in short, these skills that we have been gifted by our Heavenly Father, those skills that we have, when we use them, it is a way we love ourselves. So how do you think that works out? Well, in this day and age, you know, I think this concept would go well and with that idea of good self-esteem, being healthy emotionally, those kind of things. Because when you are doing something that you are wired to do, it's a positive thing, right? If we've heard that phrase, maybe this is something your dad said, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. When we find our wirings, when we find that calling and who God created us to be and we get in that sweet spot, it is just the way it's meant to be. And so when we see this, to get a wisdom is to love oneself, to be able to utilize this stuff. Using the skills that God has given you, I would argue, is a way and equals good stewardship, right? Everything that God has blessed you with, time, resources, and skills, we can either be a bad steward and waste it, or we can be a good steward and actually use those things for not only to grow as individuals, but also, again, to advance the kingdom. So, again, he's given you those skills with his intention to use those. So, we're going to just look at a quick example out of Exodus, page 61 in the Pew Bible. Exodus 31. Nope, the number's wrong. I don't know how I did that. Let's try 68. Proofreading is not a skill of mine, so I'll just share that with you and put that out. If you don't know that by now, then you haven't been paying attention. All right, verses 1, let's go 1 through 7. The Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have called by name Beelzebul, son of Uriah, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I've filled him with a divine spirit, with ability and intelligence, knowledge, and every kind of craft, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and carving in wood, and pointing with him in wood, and every kind of craft. Moreover, I have appointed with him Oholiab, son of..." Yeah, pronouncing these words are not part of my skill set either. "Of the tribe of Dan, and I have given skilled all the skilled, so that they may make all that I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat and that is on it, and all the furnitures of the tent." So here we see God speaking to Moses, and he's basically sharing with Moses part of this plan. He's explaining to this guy, or Moses, that Beelzebul has some really impressive skills. And he's also sharing with us and Moses that he specifically gave this guy the skills because he had a plan. At this point, right, Israel, they've moved out of Egypt. They've gotten to this point where they're in the Exodus. That's why the book's named that. And they're on their way out. And they need a place of worship, some place where God would reside, not just the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, but there would be that central point to the camp. And so God has it very specific what he wants this to look like. And so, again, when God gives skills, he does not give them haphazardly. In this man's life, God knew what his plans were for him, and so he gave them, obviously, all these craftsman skills and intelligent and how to work gold, silver, stone, and all those things, because he had a specific skill. God did not give you your skills haphazardly. I think we need to grasp hold of that truth because, again, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And again, as we've already heard, using them is good. It's good for us. It's a way that we show self-love. It's a way that we build self-esteem and all those things. But there's even something cooler to realize in these verses. So 3 through 5, "I have filled them with a divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, knowledge, and every kind of craft to devise artistic designs and work in gold, silver, and all these things." Again, we see this guy. This guy was talented. God gave him an incredible amount of skill. But look at this. "I have filled him with divine spirit." Now, if you read that, I don't know if that would jump out to you, but here's the thing. Now, being filled with the Spirit is something that we kind of understand in 2019 because we've heard that verbiage throughout, but this is the old covenant. Now, we know that we are new covenant, right? When we come to Christ and we accept his forgiveness and salvation, that one of the things that we get as part of the deal is the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. Again, this is old covenant. So this is not a guarantee. So what does this mean? Being filled with the Spirit, when we look at the Old Testament vernacular, it means having from God the ability to do or say exactly what God wants done or said. So when God really wanted to make sure in the Old Testament that it was done right, or it was done, or what was said was what God meant, then he would fill that individual with this divine spirit, and then that's exactly what would happen. And again, in the case of Beelzebul, being filled with the Spirit, man, he knew what the tabernacle and its furnishings were to look like. He knew exactly what God wanted to be done. I don't think we always look at our skills in this way. And again, obviously, Beelzebul had a very specific purpose, right? This tabernacle, this holy place with the furnishings, some place where God of the universe would reside with his people. Not on some mountaintop, but in the middle of camp, right? God, when the Israelites would walk around and they saw that big tent, they knew that God was at home and he lived amongst them. And so part of this Beelzebul would bring it with this, that would be honoring and glorying, that it would take your breath away a little bit, something that was deserved, that was honoring to God. Here's the thing. Again, God gives us specific skills in order to accomplish the things that he has for us. And this concept isn't just from Old Testament, some one example of some guy that built the temple years ago. We see this concept followed into the New Testament. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. I want you to see three things here. That first phrase, for we are what he has made us. The original language is more toward God created his handiwork. Now, when you hear that phraseology, handiwork, we get an image. It's someone's best, right? They lovingly handcrafted. If you want a piece of furniture, you know there's a difference if someone lovingly made that versus went to IKEA and slapped it together, right? I'm not slamming IKEA furniture, but versus someone handcrafted, there's a quality there, right? So when we hear this idea that God made you a handiwork, he handcrafted you. And I do like how our Bible says that. For we are what he has made us. You are what God wanted you to be. That's an amazing truth for us. And I think it stands against what we hear from the world. Now, point of clarification here, and I think it's a good one. So a few weeks ago, I did a sermon on entitlement, and multiple times I looked you in the eye and said, you aren't special, right? Because it was that high idea that we're just one of 7 billion people and that we aren't special. The point of that statement was that, look, you don't deserve anything, right? You don't want what you deserve, because ultimately the Bible says you're a sinner and you deserve death, and everything that we ultimately get, what we want, is because of that. I wasn't saying that you weren't unique. Catch the difference there? Not special, but still unique. And so when we see this phrase, for we are what he has made us, there will no but never ever in the course of human history, there will be another you. Think about that. How many people have lived and how many people continue to live until Jesus Christ comes back? I mean, I don't care how good you are in math, I don't think our finite brains operate at that level. We can't. But there will only ever be one like you. And the Bible says what? God knows the number of hairs on our heads and all that stuff. And so why we are special, why are we unique? Because God loves us and knows us that way. And so for you, we are who he has made us to be. You are unique. You are the only you. And it is our loving creator who made those crucial decisions about your makeup. Yes, here's the thing. We live in a fallen world and we're broken human beings, right? So everything from birth defects to just the nature of sin and disease and all that stuff. And so I don't think we fully... I mean, one of the things I really look forward to getting in heaven is you get to meet the Todd that God created and I get to meet the you that he created without all the other stuff, right? Perfected and all of that. And yet, I don't think all of this is going to be wiped away. Personality and some of that stuff. I think you're going to be recognized. If we're both walking down the gold street, I'm going to recognize you for who you are. Our God created you the way he wanted to. And so here's a side nugget. When you look at yourself in the mirror, and if you're one of those that struggles with self-esteem and you're hard on yourself, you need to remind yourself that you were made in God's image, that God loves you just the way you are. Yes, he's trying to get you to be more like him, But he didn't make mistakes with you. So we need to hear that. And the key for us this morning is what? It's that next phrase. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works means that we are to be about our Father's business. And here's the thing. Opportunities, and you hear your pastor pray on a regular basis that he will continue to give us opportunities to show love and engage our culture for Jesus Christ. And I think we have multiple ones each day. I think sometimes, though we look at them and they seem relatively small and insignificant, yet I would tell you that we need to grasp hold of those and do and use the skills that God has given us. Because why that last phrase? God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. There are no coincidences. There's not just some happenstance that we roll by. God is working at an intricate level that we can't even fathom. So something that may seem just this little itty-bitty thing, and we step up and we do this, we use this little skill that we have, and we obey God and we do it, it's the ripple effect. It's a link in the chain. The other thing I look forward to getting in heaven someday is when we go up there and God says, hey, I want you to see something. Remember I asked you to do this simple little thing and till the day you died, you didn't understand what that was. And frankly, it was so small you forgot it. Check how I used it. And he can show us that chain and he can show us those ripples. And way down here, for those of you sci-fi, the butterfly effect, right? A butterfly flaps his wings in Brazil and becomes a hurricane. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. You'll understand, all right? That idea that, again, God can use us. And so don't ever undersell the skills God has given you. Don't ever undersell the opportunities, the small little moments where you can show love, show Jesus to someone. Those have eternal consequences. God prepared beforehand. Before you were even born, think about that. Before you were even born, God knew the things that he had for you to do. Again, I think we underestimate our worth and our ability for the kingdom. But again, with God, the sky's the limit, right? Obedience, walking. And I think I know for some of you, the idea of doing more for the kingdom and doing more for God excites you because it's in your wiring. And you know what? Right now, maybe you're at a point in your faith that, man, you're growing in it and God feels close and it just excites you. And you're just waiting for the next thing. And just daily you wake up and, man, you're just ready to get after it. But I would guess that not all of you are there because life is a roller coaster. And there are times that we don't feel close to God. And there are times that we're wondering what in the world this world's is doing or where God is because we don't feel that he's close. And so we just, some of you need to hear that, you know what? You need to bring your skill to bear. Again, he didn't give it to you on accident. He didn't give it to you just so you have it. The intention always is that you use it. So if you're one of those this morning, you just feel like you're lacking maybe in the skill area or you just don't see how God could use you, I would question you, have you ever asked God to give you more? I mean, as you walk through this life, if you see something that pulls at your heartstrings, if there's an injustice or there's something that you see that needs to be done, or man, somebody better do something about that. I guess you have a couple options. If you don't have the skills, number one, you can pray for God to raise someone else up, which that's a legit prayer, and sometimes we need to do that. But sometimes God shows us those things so you'll get off the fence and actually do something about it. If God is stirring your heart, and maybe you're looking at that and going, well, I don't have the skill set. I have no idea to even how to go about that. Are you asking God for him to deal with the issue? Are you asking God to prepare you so you can help deal with the issue? See how it's a completely different prayer. It's a different mindset. Frankly, the easier one is like, Lord, whew, that is bad. You need to raise people up and do something about that. There's a reason it's stirring your heart. And there is something we can do about it. Look at David's simple prayer in Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hand for war, my fingers for battle. Who trains my hands. So King David saw and believed that God was willing and able to train him in the things that he needed. And he is. Now, I don't think God's raising any of you up to be a king or a warrior. Maybe I'm wrong. God can do whatever he wants to, but by and large, I don't think that's for us. But the truth that God can train our hands for whatever we need is absolutely true. Our loving Heavenly Father can absolutely do the same for you. If God has something for you to do, don't we think he will give you the skills in order to do it? And I know that seems simple and common sense, but how often do we let ourselves off the hook because we look at it and go, we don't have that skill set. We don't have what we need. Sometimes we need to ask for it, right? James 1:5, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, I will add the word that we're using. If any of you is lacking in skills, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, it'll be given to you. There is no reason why you cannot ask for a particular skill and receive them if God wants you to have them. I'll throw in another slide blurb here. I believe that we are called to be lifelong learners. Right? And I'm not just talking school. I know some of you gritted your teeth and got through school, and by God's grace, he will never call you back to school. I was one of those, and then guess what? God called me back to school. But I have learned to love learning. And I, you know, whether it's picking up the book and reading and stuff, and I don't care how old you are, if you're still here, how many times have you heard this from your pastor? God's not done with you yet. There's still things to be done. And so the more we can be stirring our mind and learning different things. And here's the thing. I don't think learning is ever a waste. Not only does it keep our minds engaged, but also I will tell you that there is knowledge that I've picked up over again, growing up on a farm, mission trips, all those things. And there are times I remember learning something. Where in the world am I ever going to learn to use this? Algebra is still on that list for me. There's a few other things, but I'm not, you know, I still think there's a lot of life left to be had, but I'm praying that God doesn't make me use algebra, because at this point, I don't know how much of that I've maintained, and that's not my skill set. So, and I'm not praying. I am not praying for more algebraic knowledge at this point. I'll just trust if God throws me in that hill, he has my back. But as we, again, we pray and we seek to be this lifelong learner, again, there are times that I have learned things. When we were roofing in Kentucky, I was lamenting having learned those skills all those years on, because God continued to find ways for me to use that. Again, you might be have an opportunity to learn something, and you're like, when am I ever going to use this or whatnot? In years down the road, God goes, hey, check out this opportunity, and you're like, ah, now I get it. So to be a lifelong learner and just continue to engage, because again, God doesn't tend to show us, hey, I want you to learn this because of this, right? We can't handle that. He just says, hey, I got this for you. Take one more step. Just obey and trust me in the process. Maybe it's for you, right? Again, learning something different engages us in different ways, and God is in it. And it makes sense when you think about, right? The more skills that we have, the more God can use. Look at, I have a bonus verse. I didn't. Proverbs 22:29, it's not up on the screen. It says, do you see a man who is skillful in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. What is that saying? Quality works deserve recognition. This verse should be an encouragement for all of us to continue to use and hone the skills that God has given us to the best of our abilities for the advancement of his kingdom. Now, most dads, if you're a good dad, I think it goes with the territory, need to be passing down some of those skills that we had mentioned and probably a plethora more. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate their investment in us. Our Heavenly Father has done the same thing, but at a whole bigger scale. So this morning, we just want to honor him, and throughout the week in this life, we honor him by using the skills that he has given us for the kingdom, by taking hold of every opportunity that he gives you, not minimizing what you bring to the table and thinking, oh, I only can do this. If you feel like you need more, ask, because God will give you, and he can use even the smallest thing to accomplish things beyond our wildest dreams. God wants you to live skilled. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all the ways that you do bless us. And we are humbled by your goodness and your love and your mercy and just the things that you do for us. And Lord, we're reminded today that Each and every one of us are good at least one thing, or probably more than one. And that you granted us those skills, you wired us that way, because you have purpose for us. And so for those of us that understand our purpose and are in the midst of that, just continue to encourage us and fan the flames of our heart to be able to do it with energy and for your honor and glory. And for those people that are just wondering, what are they supposed to be doing? And they're looking for an opportunity. Lord, I ask that you'd open those doors, that you would begin to give them a dream of ways that they can use the skills that you've given them, Lord, to not only, again, bring you honor and glory, but to advance your kingdom. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for an opportunity to engage with you. We love you so very much, and we pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.